Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to an Old Testament passage of Scripture. You've already recited it this morning, but it's found in Psalms chapter 32. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question. What one thing can set your earthly life on a collision course toward disaster, toward havoc, toward literally living torment on earth? Now, if you say, well, living without Jesus Christ, that is absolutely accurate. But there's also something else that you and I can do in our lives that can absolutely wreak havoc upon our lives, and that's this: bad decision making. If I ask you this question, do you know how to make wise decisions in life, how would you respond? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, you know what? I have come to realize that I don't know how to make wise decisions. And maybe you're looking at a part of your life or somewhere in your past and you think, why am I living in such disarray? And people talk about the Christian life being the abundant life and a life of joy and tranquility. But why is my life in such a mess? Truth about it is, if there's one thing that has the potential of messing up our entire earthly life, it is bad and wrong decision making. And so because of that, this morning and next Sunday, I want to deal with how to make wise decisions in life. Because there will never be a time in your life but what you have to make decisions. You have to make decisions about maybe where to go to school if you're young. You make decisions when you get a little bit later on is, do I want to really marry him? Do I want to really marry her? Or you face a decision, do I want to stay in this vocation, or do I really feel like I need to change vocations? All throughout our earthly life, we are faced with decision making, one right after the other. And the truth about it is, a lot of times when it comes to the Christian life, we just make decisions and we hope that we've made the right decision, but we say something like this: well, I hope I made the right decision, but you know, you just can't tell. It will just take some time to see. Can you imagine God giving you this one earthly life and wanting you to make decisions that way? Can you imagine getting into a marriage, for example, and thinking, well, I hope this is the right one, but I'm just not really, you just have to wait 20, 30, 40, 50 years to see. That is not what our Heavenly Father wants for us. And the truth about it is, God wants us to learn to make wise decisions. Now, not every decision is a major decision. For example, if I put on blue socks this morning or black socks this morning, that wasn't going to cause my world to turn around and change and put me in havoc. But there are those decisions that will be costly, and listen to me very carefully. They will cost you, and they will cost you dearly, and they will cost you later on in your life, because the Bible makes it clear that whatever we sow, that is what we have to reap. You sow a life of making bad decisions, and you're going to have problems later on in your life. And so that's the reason I want to deal with this morning, learning to make wise decisions for a lifetime. And in Psalms chapter 32, I want you to just listen to what our Lord tells us. I want you to listen to what he says through the psalmist to you and me. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. In that one verse of Scripture, here is the psalmist reminding you and me that here's the Lord God saying, I want you to understand, as long as you live your life, as long as you walk this earth, if you will make it your business to listen to me, I will make it my business to guide you. Now, a sobering question that each of us as adults need to ask ourselves is this: do I personally know how to make wise decisions in my life? Adults, you need to be able to answer that. And if you can say no, then you need to listen intently to this message. Second of all, do I know how to teach my son or my daughter, my children, how to make wise decisions in life? I'm here to tell you that here's a reality that I've faced all throughout my life. And I've had people come to me and say, you know, I don't know why my life is in such a mess. And I'll ask them to just sort of give me a scenario of what's going on in their life. And it's not very long that I find out that somewhere back there, they decided to make a decision without listening to God, without going to his word, and they didn't really have an idea as to how to make the decision. They made the decision with the best possible mental framework that they could. Now, none of us desire to wreck and hurt and ruin our lives, but here's the fact. There are countless Christians this day, and you may know some, that they have absolutely brought pandemonium into their life. They're living a life of earthly hell. It may even be your mom or dad or brother or sister. And they're living a life of torment, saved, yes, going to heaven, yes, but day after day after day after day, they're living with the consequences of bad decision making. I want to emphasize that at the very beginning of this message, the sobering reality is this. You and your family are going to live with the consequences of your decision making. And if you're a dad, you ought to listen very carefully. Moms, you need to listen very carefully as well. And you see, it may mean the difference between having the right spouse or the wrong spouse to walk with through life. Now, sometimes we laugh at that, but let me ask you a question. How would you like to have the wrong spouse walking with through life? Now, don't answer that out loud. There is nothing like having the right spouse, having the right job, being in the right church, but do you know how to make the wise decisions whenever it comes to life? If you'll follow along with me in your outline, I want to give you five principles this morning that are consistent with wise decision making. God said in Psalms chapter 32, he said, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I will instruct you, I will guide you in the way that you'll go. Now, here's the reality about it. Whenever you and I are making decisions and making wise decisions, one thing that will always be a constant, it's this. Wise decision making will always be consistent with the Word of God. Now you'd say, Pastor, I would expect you to say that. But listen to me real carefully. I want you to listen. Listen tight. There is one that has created you, and that is the Lord God. Amen? The Bible says that the Lord God has given you life and he wants to place inside of you, if you're lost, his Holy Spirit, and he wants you to have abundant life. And whenever you look at this passage of scripture in the Living Bible, I love the way the Living Bible puts it because he says, I will instruct you, I will guide you along the best path. Now, since God has created you, given you life, breathed into your body the breath of life, since he is the sovereign of the universe, and since he can want nothing for your life but what is good, why would you and I not want to find out how to make wise decisions? And you see, the truth about it is there's a lot of people who believe that God is out to mess their life up. Well, you know, God don't want me to have the best, and so they make decisions and they get in a situation because they've been totally misled who this God of the Bible is. Listen to me real carefully. Do you know the nature of God? He can never do anything to you or for you but what is absolutely good and best and holy and right. That is who he is. And so whenever God guides you into a decision, whenever God leads you into something, he is not ever going to wreck your life. If he leads you to break up with somebody, he is not out to wreck your life. When he leads you to not take a job that you thought you would like, he is not out to wreck your life. The reality of it is, he is out to guide your life along the best path of life. Let me just give you an example before I get into the principles of this message. The day of my high school graduation, right next door to us lived the vice president of a bank. And as that vice president was a good friend of myself and my mom and dad, after she found out I graduated, she called me over and she said, Benny, I'll be glad to give you a job at the bank. I'd start you tomorrow if you'd want to take it. Now think about this for just a moment. I could have taken that job. It was a job in banking. I had taken banking in high school. I knew a little bit about banking. So I thought, you know, but then there is this voice on the inside of me, don't do it. I didn't dislike her. I didn't dislike the bank. I didn't dislike the banking institution. But here was something that God knew. Benny, I have my best if you'll follow and make decisions accordingly. One decision that day would have changed the rest of my life. And a lot of times it's one decision will change the direction in your life. So when it comes to making the decisions, whenever it comes to life, one of the realities is God will always lead you in making decisions that are consistent with his word. Now, you say, well, I don't read the Bible any, so what do I do then? That's where you need to start. Now, if I ask you how many of you sporadically read the Bible, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. Sporadically, I mean maybe once a month. Compare how much you get into the Bible and how problem your decisions are in life. You see, here's the reality. When you are systematically in the Word of God, here's a decision you need to make. You know what the Father wants you to do immediately. You don't have to try to filter through a whole lot of the Scriptures. You just know what direction He needs you to go. And He wants you to go. So first and foremost, it's going to be consistent with the Word of God. Let me give you an example. Let me turn to this passage of Scripture for just a moment. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6:14. I want to give you an example from real life and living. There is a young man, and he's dating this young girl. And she's a Christian, but he's not. Now, it automatically stands to reason that you're probably going to marry somebody you date, right? I mean, you're going to start off with a dating process, maybe go to church together, then go out to eat, then date and all that. And person says, well, you know what? He's a good guy. I really like him, and I think I'm going to marry him. Well, here's the scriptural passage, and think about this. You know, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, oftentimes a person would say something like this, well, God's just wanting to keep me from having a good marriage. No, He's not. I can tell you this, I've been married for 30 plus years and it is awesome. I mean, it is wonderful. You know, the honeymoon can last as long as you want it to. And you know, whenever God brings you that spouse but here's the reality is, do you want God's best or do you want what you want in life? And you see, one of the reasons that we get ourselves in such a mess, I want you to listen. We make decisions and we don't have a clue what God says about it. We get the advice of our next door neighbor. We get the advice of a friend. We get the advice of a family member. And so we jumble all of that together and what they feel and what they want. We take their advice. But here's the one problem with all the advice they get. Listen, they don't have to live with the consequences you do. They don't have to live with the consequences of making the wrong decision of marrying the spouse. You do. They don't have to make a decision of finding a life of difficulty. You do. And here's the reality is sometimes God tells us things and we don't want to listen to them. That's the struggle we have. God gives us direction. He gives us guidance. He gives us counsel. Listen, do you think God is ever going to spare your feelings when He knows it's not best for your life? No way. God is always going to lead you and guide you along the best path. I know that. I know that, listen, if you have a heart to follow God, you say, well, I don't know a lot of the Bible, but you want to follow Him. He will tug at your heart. He will move in your spirit because He cannot stand to see His children hurt their lives and make tragic decisions. Think about it. You have to live with the consequences of marriage for a long time. You have to live with taking, you know, with being involved in that person when it comes to matrimony. And so making decisions are always going to be consistent with His Word. And here's the reality of this. If you're not in the Word of God, I'm just going to tell you this. You're going to make decisions that's going to cost you, and they're going to cost you dearly. You're going to make decisions in your life, and your decisions are going to affect you. They're going to affect your parents. They're going to affect people around you. They're going to affect your church family. Why? Because that's the way decisions are. You know, decisions are going to affect your relationship, and it's just going to happen. Here's what the Lord says, I will instruct you. I will lead you. And so if we're going to develop wise decision-making, it comes with this, realizing that God has the claim upon my life. Listen, I have no right to talk back to the one who created me. Since He created me and knows how I tick, He has the best in store for my life. He has the best of everything. I'm not saying the best of some things. I'm saying the best of everything. And so, you know, He can't guide us in any direction that's best, other than best. Now, here's the reality that some people face. Well, God's just interested in me getting saved and going to heaven, and that's all there is to it. I beg to differ with you. Think about it a minute. You have decisions you make all through life. If God is just interested in your soul salvation, then there's a lot of decisions you make in life that don't really affect that. But He is interested. I will instruct you. God is saying, if you will listen to me, if you will allow me to instruct you, I'll guide you to the right husband, the right wife. I'll guide you to the right vocation. And I think back how God does it. He does it in some wonderfully unique ways. I know that because before Charlotte and I ever married, I broke up with her. I said, I don't believe it's going to work. So I went off to Texas, went to Southwestern Seminary, and was going to class, and I kept thinking about this young lady back in Williamsburg, Kentucky. And my plans were to finish up and, you know, let the Lord lead me to a pastorate. But here's what the Lord was doing. He was gravitating my heart back to this area. And here's the reality. God was saying to my spirit, I don't want you to make a decision that's costly. I don't want you to make a decision that's going to cost you peace and harmony. So you know what he did? He made me wholly miserable. If you know what holy misery is, you understand what I'm talking about. I could not be at peace with myself. I couldn't be happy with myself. And finally, after I went to the seminary, I thought, well, I've got to go back home. And I said, I'm heading back. And in the meantime, she had lost so much weight because I'd gone. You know, that's another story. But here's the reality. That decision has affected us for life. You get the picture? Your decision, who you get together with, is significant. Your guidance, parents, what you tell your children, is a big deal. And so the issue is it consistent with the Word of God? What does God say about it? And second of all, does this decision conflict with human wisdom? Now, a lot of times we make decisions and it just sounds logical and reasonable and rational. For example, a person takes a job and they go down in salary. A person takes a job and they go down in income. A person takes a job and they go down in benefits. Listen, you say, that is the wrong decision to make. Well, just be careful a minute. Listen very carefully. God knows that every decision is going to be, most every decision, those major ones are going to be costly. Now, a lot of people around our lives seem to give advice that sounds good and sounds right, but you know that sometimes the consequences, they didn't realize what they were saying. Let me give you an example. When Jesus was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount and talking to his disciples, listen to what he says to them. He said, pray for those who despitefully use you. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that sound humanly reasonable or against human reason? Does it sound humanly reasonable to pray for somebody that accuses you and abuses you and mistreats you? And, you know, he says, pray for those who despitefully use you. And he also, you know, somebody says, well, you know, someone offends you, turn the other cheek. Now, that doesn't sound logical. It doesn't sound rational. It doesn't sound reasonable. But here's the bottom line is this. Is this decision-making in line with the wisdom of God? For example, you may be here and you're thinking about a job career and you're thinking about a job change. And you say, you know what? It means a reduction in everything. But the bottom line is God in it? Is God in the job changer? Is God in the situation? And you see, the point is, Jesus doesn't always give us direction that sounds logical. His direction is a call to faith. His direction is a call to believe him, trust him, obey him, and walk with him. And you see, whenever you think about people in Scripture, there are a lot of commands that God gave people that they didn't sound logical. Let me give you an example. God told Joshua to march around the walls of Jericho, and the way they were going to defeat Jericho was by blowing trumpets. On another situation, back in the book of Genesis, God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son on the mountain, and God gives him a directive. Now, let me ask you a question. If Abraham was alive today, would you encourage Abraham to do what he did? Or would you be one saying, nah, I just don't know, Abraham. I would rethink that thing. Here is the bottom line, and you need to listen real carefully. When God gives you a direction, there is no way to peace and happiness but listening to him. And you can't ever be at peace. You can't ever be happy when you say, well, God, I know what you said, but I'm going to make the decision this way. For example, I know of some individuals, and I think about one person who told me a situation years ago, and I just happened to listen. Dr. Charles Stanley was telling about his daughter was getting ready to get married. And they was having supper at his house, and he could tell something wasn't right. And as she was thinking about getting married to this man, he just simply said to her something like this, honey, if you don't feel this is right, you have my blessing to call off your wedding. Did that sound logical from a dad's vantage point? No. Did it sound reasonable? No. But you know what she did? She did exactly what her dad said, because in her spirit and in her heart, there was not a good sense of peace about getting into this marriage. It conflicted with human wisdom. You see, the thing about it is you've got to live with your decision-making. You have to live with your decision-making. I want you to listen to that one more time. You cannot help but live with your decision-making, and I have to do the same thing with mine. And you know what we do? We treat decision-making just haphazardly. That's why we get in all sorts of hellish messes. That's why Christians are in hellish messes. That's why husbands and wives who are saved by the grace of God are in hellish messes, because if they would back up, sometimes God would leave one wife to say, or one spouse to say, you know, I need to change my job, or I need to take this route. But you know what? Listen, God gives them the wisdom and the guidance to make the decision. And so think about it. Abraham, if any of us would have talked to him and given him a direction, we would have said, Abraham, I'd think about this thing for a little bit. You see, whenever I left Southwestern Seminary, I thought, God, this isn't logical. Most people graduate seminary and then they go on about their life. You're telling me to come back and not graduate and all of that? And people said, what are you going back for? I've never regretted the decision I made in May of 1981. That one decision has affected the rest of my life. And you see, the thing about it is, some of you may be there. You're in a situation like that. Well, look at the third one. Making the wise decision will not only conflict with human wisdom, it will clash with human flesh. You know, you don't have to turn back there, but when you read Genesis and the story of Abraham and Isaac, you think about Abraham offering up Isaac unto the Lord, and here's a decision. God told him what to do and told him to take his son and offer him upon the mount. But Abraham had to make the decision to say yes. Now, watch carefully the decision. Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, go to the mount that I tell you of and offer him there as a burnt offering. God, surely you don't mean it. Now, listen very carefully. You can't help but live in your fleshly body. I can't help but live in my fleshly body. But here's the reality. When you make a decision that is a wise decision, oftentimes that decision will conflict with human wisdom. It'll conflict with your human nature. Here is Abraham taking Isaac to the mount, and Isaac turns to him and said, Dad, where's the offering? Did you notice that Abraham didn't say that you're the offering? Abraham said God will provide for himself the offering. In the book of Hebrews, God said that Abraham said that God would resurrect Isaac. If he had him to kill him, he would raise him up. And here's the point. Abraham was willing to make the wise decision, listening to God, in spite of the human flesh. You see, here's the reality. You have decisions you have to make all throughout your life. What does the flesh tell you to do? You know what the flesh tells you to do? Flesh tells you to eat, drink, be merry. Flesh tells you to satisfy the flesh. You know, satisfy yourself. But here's what God wants you to do. What is the decision? Is it an obedience to God? And listen, I can tell you just as sure as I'm standing here, most believers are in hellish messes because somewhere down the road, they did not and they were not going to listen to God. And you know what? It's my decision. I get to make it. And yes, you get to make it and live with all the consequences that come after it. And many of them are hurtful, damaging, and so painful. I wonder, and only God knows, I wonder how many couples today, now don't you misunderstand, how many couples that God has not put together and they're just like oil and water. What do you want? Well, you know what I want. You know, I mean, what do you want for supper? You know, I mean, they're just, listen carefully. You and I live with the decisions. And is the decision, it wasn't logical. for Abraham to sacrifice his son, but it's what God said. It didn't sound reasonable. It didn't sound in line with human wisdom. But whenever you begin to read a little bit later, the Bible says, and God said, I'll bless you and make your name great and pour out on you a blessing. You know why? Because it was a big deal to Abraham to listen to the God that created him. And you see, if you're going to make wise decisions, it has to become a big deal for you to listen to the God that created you. And you see, you know, whenever it comes to Abraham, that decision didn't sound good to the flesh. He didn't want his son to die. But you know what was more important to Abraham? And here's a question every one of us, absolutely every one of us, need to ask ourselves. Is it so important in my decision making that I honor God no matter what? You see, sometimes we want to honor God after we've honored our wife. We want to honor God after we've honored our family. We want to honor God after. But what about putting God in front and say, Father, I want to honor you first. I want to honor you in this decision making. You know what he'll do? He'll protect you from wrong decision making. He'll just do it. He'll make you miserable with a misery that's beyond misery when you're getting ready to make the wrong decision. You know why? Because you're getting ready to make the wrong decision. Here's where you go. You go like that, and it's just like he just continually puts it right in your face. No, you're not. You're not going to go that way, because if you do, you'll fall off. I love you too much. I can't let you do that. And you listen, and he veers you along the other path. You see, he doesn't want you to step here. He wants you to walk out here. Now turn left, and right there is where peace is. So thirdly, does it clash with human nature? And fourth, when I make this decision, will it challenge my faith? You know, think about it for a moment. God loves us, and one of the nature of love is you love to see your kids grow. I love my daughter, and I love to see her grow up in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and love to hear her talking about the things of God. Seemed like it was just yesterday she was running around, just a little bitty fella. Seemed like it was just yesterday that I was out standing with her, throwing rocks, and she's getting ready to go to kindergarten. And now this week, at the end of this week, she's going to tell us if she's having a boy or a girl. Her mother is about to die. She said the other day, she said, you know, we've been good about going over there and trying to give them their space, but no, she's got another thing coming. They grow up. And you know what the Father loves to see about your life and my life? You listen to him. You know what I'm talking about, parents, your children, their teenage years? Mark Twain said it like this. He said, I didn't realize how unintelligent my parents were when I was in my 20s. He said, when I got to my 30s and 40s, it was amazing how much they had learned. And that's really the truth. But you know what? Here's what happens. The Lord tells us to grow in grace. You know what he does? He loves to watch us. So here's what he does. He puts us in a situation. This is going to challenge your faith. Why? Well, I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. It's in your outline, but look at it. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Here's what God is going to do. He's going to call you to make a decision that's going to challenge your faith. It don't sound user-friendly. It don't sound appeasing to somebody else, but you know in your heart it's something you need to do. I know just as sure as I'm standing here that I had to leave Southwestern Seminary, turn in everything that I had, every finals and all that, and I had to start the trek back 988 miles back to Kentucky. Thought I'd be there for 3 years, but if I was going to obey God, it was a call to faith. If you're going to obey God when it comes to decision making, it's going to be a call to faith. Maybe there's a decision you have to make right now, and you say, I just don't see my way clear how to do it. That's wonderful. You know why? Because the Lord tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. You know what the word faith means? Confidence. When Stephanie was just little, I'll give you an example. She would want to get on the bed, and I'd stand back and I'd say, jump. She loved to jump off the beds. And she'd jump and I'd catch her. Then I'd get a little further back and I'd say, jump. She'd look at me, look at where I was, look at me some more, look at where I was, and then go, come a little closer. I said, no, trust me. And here she'd come flying. You know what I would have done? I would have done anything so she wouldn't lose her confidence in me. Because I gave her my word as a dad that I would catch her. And you know what? When your father gives you a direction and a decision that you have to make, he will move heaven and earth to catch you. You know why? Because he wants you to know you can have confidence in him. And you see, the response of faith is simply to say, Lord, if I fall, I fall. Abraham, Lord, I'm doing what you say. Isn't it interesting that there was a ram caught in a thicket? Isn't it interesting? No. Here's why. Because God came through. Now listen. And lastly, will this mean a call to courage? If you're going to make the right decisions in your life, here's the question. Is this a call to courage? God is not going to lead you across the user-friendly path of ease, comfort, and pleasure. You know why? God wants you to grow. Is this a call to courage? Is it a call to courage to say, you know what? I've got to say no in this situation. I've got to say yes in this situation. I've got to back out when it comes to this situation. Whatever it is. It was a call to courage, I think, when Dr. Stanley was telling about his daughter. It was a call to courage, number one, for him to speak up. It was a call to courage for his daughter to say, you know what? I'm backing out of this marriage. It's a call to courage, and the reality of it is, if you don't make decisions based on God's guidelines and these principles I'm giving you, you'll make decisions that will cost you and they'll cost you dearly. You'll make decisions that, I don't know any other way to say it, they will be for you like hell on earth. You know why? Because you listen to yourself. You listen to some other people, and you decided not to listen to God. The greatest decision you can ever make is the decision to invite Christ into your heart. Friend, you can make a lot of other decisions wrong, but there's one decision you get wrong and it's gone. And you're gone for all of eternity, and that's decision to reject Jesus Christ. God won't make you accept Jesus Christ. That's your decision. But you do get to live with the consequences. And you live with them for all of eternity. You can make a lot of wrong decisions, and it doesn't matter for eternity, but not that one. You make that decision wrong, and it's an eternal decision that you will regret forever. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for leading us and guiding us and directing us in the paths that are best. Father, you love us enough that you'll instruct us. Father, you don't instruct us on just the average way to go, mediocre way to go. It's the best. Every one of us who placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we have that serenity in our soul that if this roof collapsed and we all died, we know where we would go. And I thank you for that. But Father, there's some here today that can't say that. They're not sure they're saved. Or maybe they've lived their life making unwise decisions. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take this and just grab their soul with the principles of your word. Draw lives to you is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.